Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Local author, educator, performer, and speaker Octavia Yearwood has been very open about her traumatic experiences as a foster child. Her mother suffered from drug addiction, and Octavia was placed in the foster care system where things did not get any better. In her 2017 memoir, How the Hell Did You Do That?, she details how she survived the foster care system, the self-healing that took place years after, and the steps that she's had to take to learn to forgive. Now, the memoir also serves as an educational workbook with a video component. Each chapter has a set of questions at the end in which Octavia is using as a curriculum to help foster youth or people who've been through the similar traumatic experiences. The book curriculum has recently been implemented through a pilot program within two educational organizations in Miami, Urgent Inc. and the Overtown Children and Youth Coalition. She's looking to expand it to other schools as well. And Octavia Yearwood joins us. It is great to have you back, Octavia. Welcome.
Thank you.
Briefly, let's start with just describing the book. For anybody who hasn't read it, it's a story, your story, but how do you describe it to someone?
I always like to say that it's a guidebook, workbook, and memoir, because that's exactly what it is. I, when I wrote the book, I thought to myself, what did I need as a youth? What did I need? And what I needed was guidance. I needed more guidance. A lot of things that I learned was on the fly. You know what I mean? Making these mistakes and then learning from them and then processing and then getting better. So I was like, if there are youth that are in these same similar traumatic experiences, I want to provide them with a guidebook, a handbook that's going to help them start to learn these lessons before they have to experience perhaps some of the things I did.
And how did you decide to do it? Because, I mean, there's one thing is to write a memoir and then relive memories, but you're trying to bring it up for people. But you want it, as you said, this is more than that. Yeah. This is also to try to be guidance for other people. So how did you come to the decision to do that?
Well, when I first wrote the book, I scrapped the first one. It started kind of wonky. It started like me sitting in my bed and it was raining outside. And I was like, it's raining outside and I'm writing this book. And I felt it was really strange. And then in 2016, I spoke to an elder, Muti Emily. She actually is from Urgent Inc. She's one of the people that, you know, started and running that organization in Overtown. And I said, and she's written multiple books. And I said, Muti, how did you write this book? And she was like, have you ever done mind mapping? And I was like, what is that? And then, boom, sitting there, she's showing me write the big circle and the lines that come off the circles. And then I said, if I'm going to write a book, I have to do this where it makes sense and it doesn't feel like it's just me. Woe is me. I didn't feel like my life was that bad. And I wanted to get into motivational speaking, and another elder told me that writing a book was the way. So I learned from her how to organize my thoughts on it. And then to me, one of the biggest things that helped me out was I did this Kabbalah workshop called Out of the Darkness. And they had this book, and it was called You Had to Do Your Light Work After You Listen to the audio CDs. And doing that workshop and writing out those answers and being by myself with these hard questions while doing that really showed me how much I grew. And I said I needed to put that in the book as well. I needed to do that in my book as well, with questions that I thought as a person that had gone through traumatic childhoods would need to answer to get them through and to the space of thriving.
Because that's the thing about the book. It's not just, not to say that reading is passive, but it's not just, you're not just reading.
Mm-mm.
You know, you're interacting,
yep,
with the reader at the end of each chapter. And we're going to get to that in a second. But I wonder, what has been the reaction from people?
I've been really, really, really surprised, happily surprised by all the amazing feedback, especially from adults who've read the book and have done the work. And
which, by the way, this is not just, it's not a young person's book. This is for...
It's not only for, it was created with young people in mind. It was made with my 16, 15, 14, 13-year-old self in mind. And what did that person need to hear or engage with to get me to where I'm at, but sooner? Like, I'm where I'm at in my 30s. Like, if I'd done the work a lot sooner, you know, I'll be somewhere else, I suppose. But I'm always where I'm supposed to be, right? But
well, we can always say that. Like, if I knew back then.
Right. The response has been overwhelmingly amazing. It has been transforming people's lives right before my eyes. Like, I'm literally watching people shift. You know, one person who's an adult person said, after reading your book, it put a fire underneath my ass. Oh, sorry. Oops. Got to beep that out, guys.
You're over. That's okay. You're overly excited. I think we're okay with that. You know, you wanted to also, you wanted to point out your experiences in the foster care system. It's still part of the story, right?
Yeah.
It's still an important part of your growth and your personal journey. What specifically, though, did you want to shine a light on in that experience that to help other people?
So for me, I chose, again, I think that when creating anything that you want to fill a void, you want to provide what is missing. But also you have to pay attention to what you needed. So I focused in on 9 things, the importance of creating works of art, you know, and how therapeutic and important that is to a human being. Forget about if you do finance or if you are a sculptor, like art is important for you, for your well-being, for your mental health. Then I went into things like, there's one chapter called Creme de la Creme, which creme de la creme means what?
Well, the best of the best, top of the top.
Best of the best, top of the top. So Creme de la Creme is a book, it's the chapter on friendship. And it's saying that you're going to choose the best of your reflection, because chrome is the metal that you can see your reflection in. So Creme de la Creme, the best of your reflection, is how you're going to approach finding your bestest friends. And so you have to continue to be better, to choose better, to have better around you.
Always be careful what friends you hang out with.
Yeah.
Choose your friends.
Right.
I'm talking with author, educator, and artist Octavia Yearwood. She's recently launched a video component to her self-help book, How the Hell Did You Do That? Her book is a guide, memoir, and workbook for foster youth who've suffered traumatic experiences. And she's launched the pilot program, by the way, with the video component with 2 educational organizations. And again, as we mentioned, it's not just for youth. It could be for anybody. Let's talk about this video component.
Yes. And I want to just do a little correct.
Go ahead.
Check. Correct. I did not launch a video component. This is a partnership with Video Rehearser, which is a branch from Miami EdTech, which is obviously a tech education company. So Miami EdTech, Carlos Vasquez is who runs it, and he has his Video Rehearser platform that originally was created to help people learn how to interview better.
Ah, I see. Okay. All right.
And he had been to one of my book workshops, knew that I was working on a curriculum, and said that he thought that his Video Rehearser program could be perhaps a good collaboration.
Well, let's talk about how that works. So as you're reading through the book, again, at the end of every chapter,
yes,
you're challenging the reader to think and answer questions beyond just what they've read, you know.
Correct.
And now there's this.
Yes.
So what happens next? I'm a reader. What am I doing?
So if you're a reader who's in the program, who's actually in the How the Hell Did You Do That book program, you have access to the Video Rehearser platform where you, after you read the chapter, you then go onto the platform and you see me and my beautiful face. Ding. You see me there. You see me ask you the question. You see me answer the question, right? Because I think that a lot of times when you ask somebody a question, sometimes people don't know what do you mean by that, right? And if they're just sitting with my book, they won't be able to know what I mean by that. So this is now their opportunity to learn what I mean by that, hear me answer it, and then in the next video after that, it's them. They'll answer the question confessional style.
They videotape themselves.
They will be, yep, it's applicable on your, you can do on your phone, tablets, computer. They video record themselves answering the question. They do have an area where they can type it in if that makes them feel more comfortable before recording their video. And then when they submit that video comes directly to my email, and I'm able to see the video. And if I feel the need, I can respond to their video. For instance, this is a program that I use, that I've been launching with programs that work with youth that are like 15, 16, 13, those age ranges. So let's say one of the kids being a kid, right? They're like, one of the questions is, who am I? And if they're like, click, yeah, I'm just me. You know what I'm saying? I'm just here living my life. That's it. Submit. And they send it to me. And I see the video. I see that they haven't tried. I see that they just trying to just get through it. They don't really feel like being bothered.
You respond.
I respond. Here I come. Yeah. Okay. I get it. Yeah. Yes. You are you. But I need you to dig a little bit more. I need you to give me a little bit more. You saw how I answered the question. Try that format. Try doing it that way. I'm waiting on it. Click. And it goes right back to them. They get a notification that their instructor sent them a video reply. And now they're like, oh, shoot. What she got to say?
Well, the instructor, it's you, the author.
It's me. Yeah.
And then how many times did you get that? How many times? And it sounds like you, I mean, you're going back and forth with people, right? You can go back and forth.
I could, but it's not necessarily necessary. You know what I mean? Because I do want youth to feel like they have a space where they're able to express themselves and not feel like anything they say is going to be nitpicked and responded to. You know, the response is really the response is there too, because we have a mental health specialist embedded in the program. So when things start to come up for the youth and the youth need to have a discussion with someone about it, that mental health specialist is able to engage with them via the platform as well. So there's many uses as to why the video component and the response aspect is there.
Has there been one story, and I know you don't have to share anything personal, but I'm curious if there's one story that really touched you most. I'm sure you run into these from time to time. Somebody's confessional just hits you.
In their videos. I don't want to.
That's all right. No, not to get, you know, into anybody's particular story.
Yeah, I feel you. It's just that the program is new. So that means that the youth are limited at this time. And I don't want to share something that may,
right,
you know what I mean, compromise that.
So real quickly, tell us about these two groups that you're working with. Again, Urgent Inc. and then the Overtown Children and Youth Coalition.
Yeah.
With them, again, you're implementing this curriculum. Walk us through again, you know, what they're doing and what's your goal? What do you envision this is going to become?
Well, I think that it's important to create a legacy. And I think it's also important to realize that as an individual person, as a person who's taking on this task of really making an effort to make the world better, you got to also know that you're not going to be everywhere. And you can't be everywhere. So this is a way for me to not only immortalize the work that I want to do with the book and the impact that I want to have on the world, it's also to provide supplemental support to programs that need it. You know, nonprofit organizations get paid a very low amount of money. They're very much bottlenecked when it comes to the funds that they have access to. And then programs like this is going to be able to help them to work on things that their mission may not be wrapped around. You know what I mean? I wanted to create a program that provided true outreach. How are we really supporting their mental health, our youth? How are we really giving them, how are we really shifting what we think mentorship looks like and how mentorship can actually unfold in the classroom? Also how tech with mental health and mentorship can play a role in supporting.
Do you think, it seems like maybe in the time that we're living in, that this is the best way you're going to reach, especially young people. It's got to be through social media. It's got to be through tech.
That's right.
You know, it's not to say books are not going away, or at least we hope
they're not going nowhere.
They're not going nowhere.
They've been here.
But at the same time, it's got to be more than just a passive read. It's got to be interactive, but you've got to have video. You've got to have social media involved somehow if you really want to reach kids.
Yeah.
Is that what you're getting?
Absolutely. And one of the students actually, and you can see it, and you'll see him talking in the end of the promo video that's up that you all shared earlier, which was, as kids, he said, as kids, we don't really like to read, but doing it like this allows us to have fun reading, but also make a connection with our teacher. So you asked earlier about what the format looks like with Urgent Inc. and what it looks like with the Overtown Children and Youth Coalition. And what it looks like is I go in and we read the chapter together out loud. So another thing that's important to me is them getting this comfort of reading out loud, you know, raising their self-efficacy is really, I need them to know that they can do it, whatever it is, right? So they're reading out loud together. And then from there, we have a discussion about the chapter. What are the things that stuck out to you? What things didn't you understand? What did you get from that? So that we really understand that they get what's happening here in this chapter. And then they go break out into their own respective areas where they then go into the video rehearsal platform and answer the questions.
The book, again, is titled How the Hell Did You Do That? And again, it's an interactive book, a workbook. And it's not just for youth, it's for anybody. And again, you because they joined the group, and that way they can be part of that the video component, right?
Yes, that the video component aspect is strictly for programs and schools and yeah.
Perfect. Author, educator, artist, Octavia Yearwood. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. You're the best.
I appreciate it. All right. Still to come, a Burning Man style art installation's going up, but it will be burned down because it's in honor of the victims of Parkland. We're going to learn more about the artist coming right up here on Sundial.